talking this afternoon with Flo Tamazian-Snyder, who has self-published a wonderful book about her association with the Los Angeles Dodgers shortly after they moved out to California. The name of the book is Lady in the Locker Room, Madcap Memoirs of the Early L.A. Dodgers, and I'm very happy that Flo has a chance to speak with us this afternoon. Hi, Flo.
Hi, Ron. Nice to talk to you.
Very nice to talk to you. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you. I'll accept that because it's just been a joy for me and obviously to a lot of readers, too.
Now, this is a little unusual from some of these self-published books. It's more like almost like a family scrapbook.
Right. As the first person hired when the Dodgers came out to Los Angeles, I knew right away that this was going to be an experience that very few people would ever have. So I kept a lot of things, and also I knew I was going to have a story to tell that nobody else would be able to tell.
Well, pardon me for asking it, but why did you wait so long to tell it?
Well, you know, I had such a publicity and promotions training with the Dodgers that I, when I left, I was thrust into the political world, which I didn't know anything about, and that consumed me. And I was the press director for the Attorney General's campaign. He wanted me up in Sacramento, and that removed me from the L.A. area. Then the Governor Duke Machen, when he was elected, he appointed me director of tourism. So my life got so busy that it took. That's why I say it just took a short 40 years for me to write it. But I always knew I was going to do it someday. And then when I retired, then I finally had the time to do it.
Well, it all seems like you had such wonderful planning that it came out pretty much 50 years after the Dodgers arrived.
That's exactly right.
That's planning.
And also that, I may not have planned it that way, but I wanted it to come out at the time of the 50th anniversary.
Now, I'm thumbing through the book as we speak, and there are photos here that, I mean, I've been following the game for 40 years. I've never seen a lot of these photos before. You see a lot of the photos time and time again, but these are, of course, you know, you're in a lot of them, so no one would have seen many of these, but they're just phenomenal photos.
Well, when I was there, I was taking pictures all over the place. A lot of the photographers would take pictures for me. And I think the really valuable ones are the old Dodger Town spring training camp.
Which is no longer in existence.
And those old barracks that we lived in, those were torn down long ago. But to me, it was Eden. I mean, it was just a wonderful place, even though it was like a 1930s Boy Scout camp. But it didn't matter. You know, it was just so much fun being there. You know, the Dodgers spring training, Dodger Town was, I think, the best spring training facility in the major leagues at that time. We lived and played and ate and slept at the same on the same site. Living at a hotel and going to a ballpark.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the reasons that the Dodgers decided to do that was because of the African-American players on the roster.
Branch Rickey, you know him, I'm sure. In Florida, which was, in those days, part of the Deep South, and African-American players were at risk in some situations, but I don't mean so much physical risk, but, you know, there were places, in fact, I say in the book, there were, even in my day there was places they couldn't go with us. And that really shocked me. Coming from California, we didn't have, I'm sure there was, racial issues here, but nothing like what I'd seen down there. It was, inconceivable to me that they couldn't go to a restaurant with us.
Now, you are one of the, if not the, you're one of the first people the Dodgers hire. What were you responsible
for? I was the first.
What were some of your responsibilities?
This move happened so fast. O'Malley, there was very little time between when he made the decision and when he made the announcement. So they came out to California with very little pre-planning and knew very little about Los Angeles. In fact, I say in the book, most of them had never even been to Los Angeles. So when I was hired as a secretary, but I immediately began being sort of a tour director, telling them where places were, where they could live, housing, schools for kids. They knew nothing about this place. And So I became a, what did they call it in the old days?
Gal Friday?
Gal Friday, right. And then Red Patterson, who was quick to recognize potential, saw that I had a little bit of talent in writing, you know, and he was the one that pushed me more into doing publicity and promotions work with him, which was wonderful. I learned a lot from him.
That seems almost pretty far-thinking for the time.
It was. He was way, as I say in the book, he did the politically correct thing before anyone ever heard of political correctness, you know.
How did you even come to hear about an opening for this position?
Well, what happened when the Dodgers were, when the move was, there was no opening. They weren't inviting anybody. You know, it was a very closed organization. But I was at home one day, and I was out of a job, and I'm on the couch watching TV and soap operas. And all of a sudden, I couldn't find any soap operas. Every station in L.A. was carrying this big event of some kind. And I thought, what's going on? And then I see this banner that says, Welcome Dodgers. And I thought, oh, my God, the Brooklyn Dodgers are coming to Los Angeles. And as they're introducing all the ball players, you know, Snyder, Campanella, Hodges, Pee Wee Reese, those were names I somewhat recognized. But then they began introducing the front office people, Walter O'Malley, Buzzy Bavezzi, Red Patterson, Al Campan, and names I didn't recognize. But as they were doing that, I thought, you know, not everybody in Brooklyn can get up and leave their home and move 3,000 miles away. And I thought, somebody can't go. There may be a job for me. So I called my friends at the LA Times. I had worked at the LA Times for about a year and a half in special events. And Paul Zimmerman, the sports editor, was a friend of mine. And I asked him, I said, am I crazy or is there a chance I could get a job with the Dodgers? And he said, Flo, you'd be great. He said, I've been working with these people for a couple of weeks now, and they don't know anything about Los Angeles. So he told me through the contact, and I sent a letter, and I got a totally noncommittal response from Harold Parrott. Then I realized I had to just go down there on my own. So the temporary headquarters were at the old Wrigley Field here. So I just went down there every day, Ron, and I wouldn't leave until they finally hired me.
Oh, good for you. It turns out to be a great experience. You were with the Dodgers for 10 years?
Yes.
Who are some of your favorite players at the time?
Well, my big protector was Gil Hodges. I was a very naive 22-year-old, you know. I mean, I was adult, but, you know, what did I know about major leaguers? And so Gil Hodges just was a wonderful, wonderful person. And, of course, Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale, they were a little closer to my age, and we became very, very close friends. We all lived in the San Fernando Valley, so we were, you know, spent a lot of time at each other's houses. And you have to remember, back in those days, ball players, you know, they were like just working stiff. They didn't make a whole lot of money, so friendships were a little bit easier. And of course, you know, do you remember Roy Campanella?
Sure. Great,
okay. After the accident, I was so in awe of him. What he came through and what he did was just unbelievable. He wrote a book called, while he's a quadriplegic, he wrote this book called It's Great to Be Alive. And, you know, we had him down at spring training, and everybody flocked around him just to listen to him. He's a wonderful man, just a wonderful man. And all the ball players, you know, it was different then. There wasn't, you know, they were just all more regular, down-to-earth kinds of guys. And
that's something you always hear about them in Brooklyn, how they lived among their fans. They lived in the neighborhoods. They shopped at the same stores. They were regular people, not like today where they're millionaires living in gated communities.
Absolutely. And, you know, only O'Malley was excited about. Only O'Malley and Roy Campanella, they were the only two that were excited about coming to Los Angeles. Got to remember, Ron, present company excluded, New Yorkers looked down their noses at Californians in those days. You know, who paid attention to what went on in California? And so they loved Ebbets Field, and they loved the life they had there. you know, they're coming to this strange new place where they don't know anybody. So it's no wonder that first year we ended next to last place.
Sure, it has to be an adjustment period.
Oh, yeah, terrible, you know. And this, and L.A. was so different from everything they were used to.
In looking through the pictures, I'm imagining this is just the tip of the iceberg from the stuff you've got.
Yes, that's true.
So it must have been difficult to cull through them and pick the ones that, that represented best what you wanted to show.
Right. You know, as I was doing this, I'm thinking, you know, what do they want to see? And then I thought, you know, I'm just going to go with what fascinated me at the time. And it seemed to pretty much work out right. I mean, there, you see that picture in there of a skinny Don Zimmer
jumping the trampoline.
Up on the trampoline. Can you ever imagine him being that thin? But, I mean, that was a priceless photo, I think. And they brought the trampoline. We had just won the 1959 World Series against the Chicago White Sox, and that was in the Chicago hotel at our World Series victory party. And they brought in the trampoline to demonstrate the Dodgers' bounce-back spirit from the 1958 debacle, you know.
Of course, nowadays they would never do something like that because someone could get hurt, and there goes your $1 million.
You know, Ron, somebody said that to me the other day. There's so many things that you can't do in baseball anymore. Do you remember the chapter about Ron Fairley when we'd won the pennant in 1965, and Alston told Ron Fairley, we're all set. You can go out. And you don't have to play tomorrow, you know. Although we had one more game, but it didn't matter. We'd already clinched the pennant. So Ron takes Alston at his word and goes out, gets Drysdale, a couple of others, and they go out on the town. They're out all night drinking and having a wonderful time celebrating. Well, no matter what, you always have to come to the ballpark in your uniform if there's a game on. So Ron shows up bleary-eyed on his uniform, and on the lineup card, he sees his name. And he says, "What's this?" And Alston said, "Wes Parker has the flu, and you're going to have to play." Well, here, you know, he is fairly wiped out. So he goes to the plate when he's at bat, and he says, "I'm going to swing at anything they throw at me." And lo and behold, he gets a hit. Well, unbeknownst to Fairley, Alston and Vin Scully up in the broadcasting booth had arranged for Vin Scully to call the game for three innings. He was going to be the manager. So Scully, so Fairley gets to first, and Scully says, "Well, Ron Fairley's not known for speed, so let's have him field." So he sends the signal down to the dugout, and Ron, you know, who can barely stand up, gets the signal to steal. And well, it just went on for three innings, but you know, you just couldn't do anything like that in today's game. So,
I'm just so overwhelmed by looking at it. It's so much fun looking through this book. It's got history. It's got your personal stuff in it. It's got the players in situations where you'd never see them. I'm watching. Looking at a picture now with a bunch of guys dressed in the high style of the day, signing a baseball, fishing, singing around a microphone.
Right.
It's just...
But you want to hear one of my favorite stories?
Sure.
That involved the Yankee. when Roy Campanella had that terrible accident, the Yankees, you know, everybody loved Roy, and the Yankees agreed to play an exhibition game with the Dodgers, and it would benefit Roy Campanella. And in fact, that game, which drew 93,000 people in the Coliseum and 20,000 people rioting outside, because in those days there was no interleague play, and California, this would be the only chance where Californians would ever see the Yankees play. So anyway, that brought the Yankees into town, and it was slipped into the schedule, so we had very little time to put it on, and we put everybody up in the Statler Hilton Hotel, which was downtown. We put the Yankees there. We put the visiting press. There were about, maybe 300 visiting press. We put you know, sports, everybody there. And my boss said, Flo, you and Joyce, that was another assistant, meet me at the hotel in the morning. We'll get all the credentials ready for everybody and deliver them before noon. The game was going to be that afternoon. So we meet my boss there, and we're in the restaurant getting all these credentials ready. Got them done just as we finished, and we're going to have lunch. The door opens, and in walks a whole gang of Yankee players, Mickey Mantle, Bobby Cox, Whitey Ford, you know, and the people in the restaurant, it just sent electricity through the room. And then we spotted Yogi Berra, and we got so excited. And my boss had been with the Yankees for years prior to coming over to the Dodgers. And I said, oh, Red, could we just meet Yogi Berra? And he said, yeah. He said, I'll call him over here after they finish lunch, you know, let them have lunch. So the Yankees were just about finished, and Yogi spots Red, and he comes running over to the table, and they kind of hugged and, you know, sort of insulted one another. And finally Red said, Yogi, these two gals are my assistants, and they really would like to have your autograph. Would you mind? And Yogi says, sure. And he signed with flourish the paper that we held out. And he's talking all the time. And finally, he had to leave because the Yankees were going. And he started to leave, and then he turned back to Red, and he said, you know, Red, there's something I always wanted to tell you. And my boss said, what? And he said, my kid always admired you so much. And Red said, he did. And Yogi said, yeah, he always said when he grew up he wanted to be just like Mr. Patterson. Well, now my boss is beaming. You know, who cares about a front office guy? It's just players that get all the admiration. So Yogi said, would you mind giving my kid an autograph? And Red says, sure. So he signed whatever it was that Red held out. But Yogi said, thanks, and he ran to catch up with the other Yankees, and they left. Well, Joyce and I went ahead. We'd finished lunch, and we were at the door about ready to leave, and Red stayed behind to pay our bill. And all of a sudden, we hear him screaming and cursing. We went racing back and said, what's the matter? What happened? He said, that SOB, that autograph for his kid was the Yankees' $400 lunch bill.
A popular trick of the day, I imagine.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So are you making any sort of book tour for this?
Well, I'm in the wrong place, Ron. I'm up here in Northern California, which is the heart of Giants country.
Uh-oh.
But surprisingly, it's just amazing. Everywhere I speak, I sell a lot of books. And it's in Borders here, and I have a website, you know. But I really need to be in L.A. and possibly New York. The L.A. people, you know, I get calls from strangers. People here have bought the book and sent it to people in L.A., and they'll call and say, you don't know who I am, but I just wanted to thank you for writing this book. Two guys took me out to dinner one night just to talk about the book.
There you go.
Yeah, so.
Well, I'm sure you're bringing back a lot of pleasant memories for a lot of old
right,
Badger fans.
Right.
And what is that website?
www.ladyinthelockerroom.com.
Very good.
It's all one word. And it's hard for me to say this, but every write-up, I don't know whether I sent you any of them or not, but the LA Times and it's, you know, they're all so complimentary because it brought back memories not only for Dodger fans but all baseball fans because they remember what baseball was like in those days.
We need more reminders of those times considering what's going on these days.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we never heard of drugs and steroids. I mean, it just, you know, we got high on just having fun. And you know, I say in the book, ball players are not only quick of hand and eye, but wit too. You know, they talk about big dumb ball. I never saw any big dumb ball players. They were very quick. You had to be careful. You know, you could find anything in your bed in those days. You could, you know, all kinds of things could happen.
Well, we've been talking with Flo Tomasian-Snyder, author of the very excellent book Lady in the Locker Room. Flo, thank you very much for talking with us today.
My pleasure, Ron.